comes. When our Lord shall come again. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're leaning on the everlasting arms. There's nothing we lack. We always have what we need. We just wish for it and we get it. Amen. Hallelujah. No, he's coming soon. Sorry.
Thank you. Saints, God bless you richly this evening. Let's open Hebrews chapter 11. Have a couple of prayer requests. Sister Viva's requesting prayer. She's hurt her back. It's very painful, so she's in the emergency there. She can't stand up straight, so we want to pray for her. And we heard about Brother David with his car, so we want to pray for him as well. Hebrews 11, let's read from verse 1. Just the first two verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Let's read verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. Let's pray. Father, please bless your word. Bless your people. Hear the prayers of your people this night. Glorify your name. Manifest yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just in coming to the beginning of a new year, I really thought it was quite a good thing just personally. And I said, let me go back and start listening to the messages again. And you start off from the very beginning. And it's a nice thing to do. Whenever you wake up in the morning, you just go through the message. And it really struck me straight away when you get into the message and you look at the very first recorded message is faith is the substance. Amen. You know, so that's the very, very beginning of the message. And on page 5, just when the prophets read Hebrews 11, he says in paragraph 17, a very simple statement, but it's very powerful and profound. He says, this is the keynote to the scriptures. That's scripture. Now, the keynote is the central theme or the essence or the kernel. It's like that inside of something. So, you know, it really got me to thinking to say, but hey, Hebrews 11, verse 1, verse 2 are the keynote, the central theme of the scripture. You then go and read Hebrews 11 and you see about Abel and you see about Enoch and you see about Abraham and you see about Sarah and you see about all those heroes of the faith. You know, you're just going right through the scriptures from the beginning. You know, and you see what faith does. Now, Paul's not so interested in Hebrews chapter 11 to explain to you what faith is. No, he's not saying faith is this, that, and that so much, but he's speaking about what faith does. You know, the characteristics of faith. And then he takes all of these people through the Bible from the beginning, from Abel all the way through, and he starts showing what faith does. And it's a tremendous thing. You know, as you start really getting into it, you start seeing, but this is a real, real principle. So the prophet starts off with faith is the substance. And then you progress through the message and you get to the end of 63 and the prophet preaches on perfect faith. You know, so it's something about that. You know, and in perfect faith, he says some real, real challenging things. He says, I put the quote on the forum the other day because I was reading that message. It says, so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he's isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. There, now you're getting into bride material. See, now you're getting into rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor now, deacons, trustees, that means for the laity, every individual walks in a world with God alone. Amen. You know, so Hebrews 11 is showing us so many examples of that, including Enoch and so forth. And you could do a very profitable study if you would go and take each of those characters in Hebrews 11 and go and see what the prophet said about them. You know, you'll never run out of material there to feed your faith if you'd go and really, really meditate on those things, those heroes of faith, and you see the way that faith acted in them. Now, the way that faith manifests itself in them. Because faith has different levels. There's faith which brings salvation. You know, when you receive salvation, you know, that delivers you. Delivers you from the world, delivers you from your past. It brings you salvation. But then you move beyond just that saving faith. Faith that saves you, which is what most people are satisfied with. You know, they just want faith that saves them. That's good. If you go to most denominational people, that's as far as they'll go. They'll just speak about faith that saves, faith that justifies. But in Hebrews 11, we're seeing faith in action. You know, you're seeing faith is moved beyond just general faith. And it's moved, and we're seeing perfect faith inside of people. We're seeing faith in action. And the one example the prophet gives in perfect faith, on page 9, he speaks about the woman with a blood issue. And she said, if I can only touch the border of his garment. The prophet says, that was perfect faith. And that same perfect faith tonight will touch Jesus Christ just as it did then. The woman came with a perfect faith for that time. You know, and she had something declared itself to her. You know, you really see the characteristics of faith in her. So it might be just a good thing to speak a little bit about faith. What is faith? Now, faith, it can be quite a mystery to people. Now, because there's so many different, like, definitions of faith, you know, depending on people's strengths and their weaknesses, because everyone's given to certain things better than other things. But we like to focus on our strengths. If one person is good at this, they'll take that as being the basis of faith. And if another person's good at something else, they'll take that as being an evidence that somebody has real strong faith. You know, so it's maybe a good thing just to look at, you know, faith. No, because faith is something, if you go right back to the beginning, when sin came in, when man fell, what happened? You know, Adam lived in a realm of substance faith. Adam could reach out into that dimension. Now, there was something inside of him that connected him with that faith dimension. And wherever he needed something to come from that faith dimension into reality, it was faith. His faith would reach out into that dimension and bring something back as a reality. It would change your circumstance, change your situation, change the wind, change whatever that it was. You know, so he always exercised his faith. Now, he had real healthy faith because he was exercising his faith all the time. He was using his faith. But when man sinned, the fall came in, that avenue was cut off. Man died in that realm of faith. That's why unless you're born again, you don't know what faith is. Just as much as if someone's born blind, there's no way for them to understand when you try to explain what it is to see. Now you'll try to explain to them, you know, there's colors and, you know, there's different lavender and there's violet and there's all these different shades of colors and there's flowers and there's clouds. And, you know, they'll be trying to understand what you're saying, but because they cut off, they don't have that sense. They don't understand what you're speaking about. Yes. You're speaking about a realm that's real to you. Because you've got a sense that's declaring that realm to you. It's just real to you. And you're trying to explain that to them, but they can't understand what you're saying. Because Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see. He cannot understand the things of the kingdom of God. And that's a really important thing for us to remember. Because sometimes we're trying to explain spiritual things to people that don't have that sense opened up to them. We're trying to explain issues of faith. We're trying to explain issues of, you know, spiritual reality and a spiritual dimension. And the prophet speaks about that faith civilization. You know, not the science civilization. And we wonder why it's so difficult for them. Because unless a person is born again, unless something comes and opens up that channel, reactivates that sense, that sixth sense, which is faith, you can't expect someone to ever have any reality of a faith dimension when they don't have a sixth sense. Just as much as you can't expect somebody to understand when you try to explain to them the beauties of music, the sound of the birds, the sound of the waters, you know, the roaring of the sea and the still waters rippling and that. If they don't have the sense of hearing, amen, they've got to have that sense to be able to appreciate what you're saying. Amen. You'll be trying to explain this to them. Say, you know, there's such a thing as sound. You know, in whatever language you're using Braille or whatever you're doing, or sign language to the person. But that person, no matter how much you try to explain, they can never quite grasp what you're saying. The only time they'll ever really understand what you're saying is if that sense opens up to them. Then they'll say, now I understand what you were trying to say. Because now they experience that. And faith is like that. Faith is only understood when it's experienced. Amen. You can't explain faith to somebody else. Faith isn't transferred from person to person. You can't give your faith to somebody else. But faith is real to the person who has it, just as real as any sense is real to you when you have it.
Amen.
You just have it. Because that's what you were born with. And when you receive the second birth, the new birth, it opens up the avenue of faith. And if you don't have faith, you've never been born again.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is saying.
Amen.
If you're not born again, you cannot understand. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand this kingdom of faith. Because God's kingdom is a faith civilization. No, it's a spiritual reality. The kingdom of God is just as real, even more real than this kingdom we are now. But we're born blind spiritually. We're born dead spiritually. No, we have no link, no understanding, no knowledge, no way of experiencing that dimension because we're born in sin. We're born dead spiritually, born blind spiritually. And then we try to educate people like Nicodemus and teach all these religious things. And then Jesus has to say to him, but you being a master in Israel, yet you don't even understand these simple things of faith, of the new birth. You see, and that's, I think, the big thing we need to understand. We can try to get people to conform. We can try to get people to reform. We can try to get people to toe the line. And all those different things. But if somebody doesn't have faith, you know, you're really fighting a losing battle. The key to it, this is the keynote of the scriptures, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith. The Bible tells us. So why are we trying to get people to please God without faith? Surely let's introduce them and show them the way to break into that realm of faith. Then they can please God. Because friends, we can have two people sitting in the same church, two sisters, dressed exactly the same. Both of them have got exactly the same dress, have their hair grown exactly the same. You know, don't put on makeup, don't put on earrings, all those kind of things. And one is unacceptable to God and one is acceptable to God. Because one's doing it by faith. The other one's doing it because their daddy told them to do it. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says that which is not of faith is sin. No matter how we dress it up in religious terms, no matter what we do, no matter how much you try to offer your fruits and whatever, like Cain did, God couldn't respect that. There was no faith. But by faith, Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel had access to the faith dimension. You know, God by grace through sacrifice, once Adam and Eve sinned, then God started to open up the faith dimension to his sons and daughters once again. And the first one you read about is Abel. God opened that dimension to him. And he caught a spiritual reality of something. He had a sense inside of himself that could reach into that spiritual dimension, bring something down and offer it before the Lord in an acceptable way. And that's why the Bible says God had what? Respect unto Abel. And then to his offering. He's first got to respect you. You've got to be doing it in faith. Otherwise, no matter how great your offering, it's not acceptable to God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God. So you can see how when Peter speaks about like precious faith. Faith is such a precious thing. You know, and you've got to be careful with faith because Paul tells us that faith, people make shipwreck of their faith. You know, so you're going to go through treacherous waters and you've got to guard your faith. You've got to watch your faith because Hymenaeus and Alexander caused people to make shipwreck of their faith. And then he speaks of Hymenaeus and Philetus, they overthrew the faith of many, saying that the resurrection's already passed. You know, so they overthrew the faith of people. So this is something we've got to watch. This realm of faith, it's the most important thing. That's why the prophet says it's the keynote of the entire scriptures. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Yeah? By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Moses, he did it looking at him. He was in contact with him that was unseen. He could reach into the invisible world and see him that was invisible. So that's why when he was acting and the things that he was doing, Moses wasn't doing it as just laws and commandments. He had a reality. He, by faith, he could see the king. You know, he was doing this to honor his king because his king was real to him. Because he had access to this dimension of faith. And in that dimension, looking at the unseen, he could see the, he who is, that is invisible. That's what the Bible is saying. Yeah, so that was the object of his faith. All that he was doing is doing it for someone that was real to him. He wasn't doing it for someone who was real to somebody else. But Moses was doing the things that he did because it was real to him. You know, because that dimension was real to him. And we've got to keep that dimension real to us as well. And that's why faith, Brother Max touched on it over on the new year, faith has to be fed.
Amen.
No, faith isn't something that just takes care of itself.
Amen.
You've got to feed your faith.
Yes.
Now, if you want your faith to grow, you've got to feed your faith.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
And if you go and take that verse, hearing by the word of God, that's hearing by the rhema of God. That's the spoken word of God.
Yes.
So faith comes when God speaks to you. That's what it's saying. Now, when you get yourself in the Spirit and God speaks to you into your situation, that gives you faith. Because you see yourself in the Word. God's making it real. Something's coming from the faith realm and it's energizing you in this realm. And that changes things. You're bringing things out of the realm of faith and bringing them into reality through the channel of faith. Such an important thing, faith. You know, we can focus on a lot of other things in the message. All the other things are important, but they're secondary. Dress, church order, conduct, they're important. We need them. A person who has faith will do those things. But it doesn't mean that a person who does those things has faith. Because in the Bible, it speaks of faith in only two ways. There's personal faith, which the prophet calls perfect faith. And there's the faith. Jude. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So, the sum total of Christian faith, which is restored by the message of the hour, that teaching, water baptism, and all those different things, is the faith. But friends, we're not saved by keeping the faith. We're saved by faith. Because we can keep all of the faith. We can be baptized in his name. We can dress properly. We as men can keep our hair short. We can do all these things and still not have faith. And it's still not acceptable to God. That's how we can see when the prophet says, this is the keynote of the entire scriptures. So this has got to be the keynote of a believer. You've got to be looking at your own faith and saying, but hey, how is my faith? And faith cometh by hearing. So you've got to feed your faith in order for your faith to grow. The prophet says the Holy Ghost feeds on the word of God. Feeds on manna. The word for your day. That's going to feed your faith. So you've got to feed your faith for to grow. And the second thing, faith needs to be exercised to grow. The trial of your faith, the Bible says. Being more precious than of gold that perishes. That's why to a believer, there's not going to be many times of peace inside of your life. You're never going to be sailing the still waters for long. You're going to be in the stormy seas more than you're going to be in the still waters because God knows how important it is to stir the nest so that the eagles can exercise their wings because that's what they're ordained to do. That's why any situation that comes up, don't run straight to the doctor. Don't run straight to the tablets. Don't run straight to speak to somebody else. First, try to exercise your faith. Give your faith an opportunity to exercise. You pray then. See, that's how you strengthen your faith. It's like your muscles. Now, if you don't use them, what happens? They start to waste away. And in the Western world, with their social security and all these things, easy life, it's easy for your faith muscles to waste away. But in the other places where things aren't so easy, you know, when a person's got to pray because there's no food for them for the next day, that's why their faith muscles are strong. You and I have the same essence of faith, but a different measure of faith. They've exercised their faith. And their faith has grown, and they can now believe for greater things Because they've put their faith to use. Because
yes.
If you don't exercise your faith, it wastes away. You know, then your faith becomes dim. You don't have strong faith. Yeah, and that's why I think the Lord really wants us to go through those kind of things. So you've got to exercise our faith. You've got to guard your faith. Because it's the most precious thing. This is your link between yourself and Him that is invisible. This is the realm that opens up between you and that kingdom there. So we really have to watch this personal faith. Now faith, when it says faith, is the substance. That word actually means the assurance. You know, it's the you've been persuaded of something. The prophet says, whatsoever, yeah, God can persuade your heart to believe, it's yours. So it shows where faith comes from. For us to be able to believe unto anything, faith has got to have a basis. Faith has to have a foundation. Faith isn't just fanaticism, just believing from nowhere. There's no such thing as believing from nowhere. You have to believe. You must have faith in some object. You first have to have faith in God. During this science civilization that the prophet speaks about that we're living in, everything's done by faith. We that work, why do we work? We have faith in somebody. The company that they're going to pay us at the end of the month. We have faith. You that get child benefit, you have faith that on such and such a day in the month, when you go to the bank, there's going to be money in your account. Why? Why? Because you believe that that which you're putting your faith in has sufficient resources to keep its promises to you. When they're promising you in child benefit, we're going to give you on the fifth day of the month so much every month. That's faith. You have faith in this dimension that we live. Because you've proved it month by month by month. It happened. Now, if you go, then it's not that you're surprised. So how much more in the faith dimension? Your faith has to be in someone who gave you a promise. And that someone who gave you a promise, you've got to have faith in him. To realize that this one who's given me the promise is able to keep his promise. That's the basis of faith. Otherwise, friends, it's fanaticism.
Amen.
That's why if you want to get faith for something, the prophet says in the church, first get in the Spirit.
Amen.
Go and read what he says. Yeah? Because he says faith can get out of focus. Now you might look at a promise, but it's not clear to you. You know that it's real. You're needing healing in your body. You're needing the Lord to deliver you. You're needing the Lord to do something for you. You have a general faith. Yeah? You know, it hasn't got to the stage yet that it's specific faith. Now, you believe that if somebody asks you, say, yes, the Lord's going to help me here. But you don't have any assurance yet. The prophet says it's like taking your binoculars. He says, and you look through them and they're not focused. And somebody says, do you see the antelope? Then you see three antelope. He says, you've got to focus them in until everything becomes clear. And if you're seeking something, you need to focus in on that. That portion of the word, focus in until it becomes clear. Then you say, now I see. Now you receive. It's like you hope that channel's becoming more and more clear. Then something drops down. Then you say, that belongs to me now. That's the basis of faith. Faith can only come through hearing the word of God. That's what the Bible tells us. So if you're looking and saying, but I'm not a person of great faith. Yes, there are people that have a gift of faith. Gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, and so forth. But generally speaking, everyone's given a measure of faith. And if your faith is not doing what you need it to do, it's not a magic wand that you need. The prophet says if you have water here on the Great Lakes and you have the desert down here in Arizona, he says you can't just wish it down from there. He says it operates according to a law. But if you use the law of gravity and utilize an existing law, you can bring that water down from there and you can grow crops in this parched land. And he says it's the same with the law of faith. Faith operates according to a law. And the first thing is faith comes by hearing. If you're not feeding on the word, you're never going to get enough faith. Because how do you expect God to give you faith? That's God's law. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if your faith is weak in a certain direction, you're feeling challenged and you're failing to overcome in that particular aspect, use the law, the spiritual law. Feed on that word. And in that word is anointed that if you bring it down, because you're born again, you can bring it down the channel of faith now. You've now got a link. It's now energizing. You bring in divine energy from that spiritual reality, that world of faith. You bring in that faith down into your world, into your soul. And the more you read and the more you listen to Rhema word, the spoken word, God speaking to you, the more it feeds your faith. And we all know what it's like, friends. We all know what it is to meet a challenge and not have the faith. But you all know what it is that you go now and say, I've had enough of this. And you follow the specific laws and then you get the faith. And you know you've got the faith. Like Brother Max was saying, you've got the 25 cents in your pocket. But that 25 cents had to come from somewhere. You have to go to the bank. You have to go to somewhere where there's a deposit that you can draw upon in your time of need. And that's from His word. That's His word. And you're going now and you're drawing down the resources from the word. So you've got to really, really feed your faith. But it's got to be going beyond. Now, faith has different stages. The first stage is God has to bring His word to you. You'll never have faith if God doesn't speak to you. That woman with a blood issue, something was declaring itself to her. Something was telling her. She had a link into the faith dimension. And the faith dimension was now speaking to her, saying, if you'll just touch His garment, you'll be healed. She never manufactured that. That wasn't her wishful thinking. That wasn't psychology. She wasn't just hoping that something was going to change in her circumstances. Something was speaking a reality to her. Something was declaring itself from the faith dimension into her soul because she was a believer, speaking an assurance to her. And she was convinced. You see, when God starts speaking to us, we have to come to the stage that we are convinced. We have to be convinced. Because it's not just hope, the prophet says. Hope hasn't yet got the answer. Hope is hoping the answer is going to come. But faith says, I've already got it. Amen. To faith, it's already got the answer. Something's already real. Something's already declared. You've already been convinced. This is finished now. I don't even need to pray about this anymore. This is over. So there's a big difference between hope and faith. Hope can lead you to faith. Because you're hoping for something. So follow the laws now so that hope can move into faith. So that instead of just hoping for it, now you can receive an insurance. You can be persuaded of what it is. But He has to persuade you. Like when the prophet was sitting between those in the trees with the, you know, in Sportsman's Hollow, the tree going north, south, east, and west. And he didn't understand that scripture. Something had to persuade him. Something had to come and say to him, that scripture's just as true as all the other scriptures are true. And the prophet will say, but how can that be? How can a person speak and God backs up what they say? And then something had to keep speaking to him, saying, what about the prophets? You see, where his faith? And then something struck him. Then he says, I see it now. And then something took place. Because now he was convinced. Now it was real. Now it was clear. Now he saw the promise the right way.
Amen.
That's why he says in the greatest battle ever fought, he says you've got to get it right on the inside first.
Amen.
Because faith has to be put to the test.
Amen.
So that you're going to go and you're going to claim the promise as a hope at first. Yeah. Now you need that promise. You need to be persuaded of that promise.
Amen.
So you need to feed upon the word. You need to allow the Lord to persuade you of that promise. And the devil's going to come in the greatest battle ever fought and try to stop that from being done. He's going to try to keep it as some general something that's out of focus. That is not real to you. You know, yes, God heals, but it's not real to you that He's healed me. You see? So that's where the greatest battle ever fought. He comes in the mind and he starts to use reasoning and all the other senses now to try to speak to you through the sense dimension, the science civilization. So you're going to need something to keep persuading you. You're going to need it to go through that gauntlet of what the devil does. You're going to need that faith to navigate through without being shipwrecked. Because the devil wants to shipwreck your faith. He wants to overthrow your faith before you receive the end of your faith that the Bible says. So you're going to have to guard that faith. You're going to have to keep yourself in a spiritual dimension, a spiritual attitude. You have to keep that atmosphere right and keep feeding upon His word. Keep feeding your faith. And then it becomes a persuasion. It becomes an assurance. You get to the stage that you are convinced now. And once you're convinced, it's over. Because when it says that faith is the substance, let's read that Hebrews 11 verse 1 again. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. That word evidence actually means the conviction. It comes from the word to be convinced. So when it says you have an evidence, it means you've been convinced. You're convinced. And we all know what it is to be convinced. You know, when somebody convinces you, there's no more doubt anymore. But up until that stage, you're still in hope. You're still working towards that stage. But then comes the stage that you're convinced. This is true and this is for me. And that's what faith is. Faith, the real substance faith, the prophet is saying, perfect faith is when you are convinced. Nothing's yet changed in the outward circumstances, but inside here something's changed. Because you've moved from hope and you've moved into the stage that now you're convinced. You're convinced, something's persuaded you. You've now received an assurance. You've received a substance. You've now received something which has convinced you. It's an evidence now. You have something real. Something is speaking to you. Something's telling you this is yours. And it's real. It's just as real as the sense of touch. It's just as real as the sense of sight. Just as real as the sense of hearing. But it's the sixth sense. That sense is declaring to you, it's over. And once that sense declares itself to you, it's over. But the problem with this age that we're living in is everything is geared around the science civilization. No, the outward evidence. If you can't see it or feel it or touch it or smell it or hear it, it's not real. You see, that's unregenerate, fallen, unborn again man. That's all he knows. He only knows the dimension of the five senses. You know? And then he starts breaking now into radio waves and all microwaves. And then he starts realizing, but hey, there are things beyond, science declares, there are things beyond what our five senses declare. But why do they stop there? When we speak of angels and demons and spiritual reality and the kingdom of God, yeah? Why don't they keep projecting it out further from radio waves and that dimension out into the faith dimension? The kingdom of God, which is a faith dimension, but they don't. Because it's only born again people that can receive the substance from that dimension. Well, they're the only ones that understand that dimension. So faith, what faith does, faith gives a reality to you of something that's unseen. Faith makes something real to you, which as of yet none of your other senses find real. But your sixth sense is telling you it's real. What's wrong with that? I don't understand why the scientists don't understand that. What's wrong? If you say to me, this is real because I can touch it, we won't say the person's crazy. But if you say, it's real because my sixth sense is telling me it's real, they say you're crazy. You know why? Because I don't know what the sixth sense is. Because only when you're born again do you start to understand what people are speaking about when you speak about the sixth sense, which is faith. You have to experience it to understand it. There's no other way that you'll ever understand faith or the principles of faith. It's learning by doing. It's knowledge by experience. That's the only way. Intellectual faith will never bring it to you. It's got to be experiential faith, the prophet says. You've got to move from intellectual faith to experiential faith. Then it becomes a reality to you. But if you look at the natural world that we live in, yeah, you wonder why people do doubt about these things. Because your senses declared the reality of all things that are around you. It's like the light waves strike an object. They diffuse off an object. And then you have a sense. Your eyes are able to translate that something, light waves, into something that's real to you now. You see, now you can see and say, that's real. That flower is real. The sun is real. Same when somebody plays music. Their sound waves go forth. And then you have a sense God has given that's able to translate. You can't see sound waves. And a person who's deaf, they don't understand sound waves. But those sound waves, because of a sense that God gave you, is able, when those sound waves strike that sense, it translates it from being something invisible into something that's real to you. You can now hear that music. Exactly the same as the sixth sense. When something comes forth from the faith dimension and comes to declare itself to you, there's something inside of your soul, because you're born again, that can translate those waves that are coming from the revelation and whatever it is, and it becomes a reality to you. That's what the sixth sense does. Now, some people are very good at exercising their natural senses. You find there's scouts and trackers in the army, and their sense of sight. You know, there's other people that their sense of smell. You know, they take those sniffer dogs and they can smell drugs and you know, all those kind of things. You know, they perfect them by training those senses until those senses become so in tune. They can pick up what the rest of people need a lot more of it to pick it up than they need. The slightest thing, they can pick it up. So surely it's going to be the same with the sixth sense. That's why there's going to be certain people that just the smallest move of God, they're going to see, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Whereas other people need a far greater something before they come to the stage which they convince. It just depends how you've exercised your sense, your sixth sense. That's how when trials and troubles and all these things come up, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to exercise the sixth sense. For you to bring from the faith dimension something into reality. Oh, friends, that's what faith is. And that's why Paul is speaking about faith. Now, faith, it's a very simple principle, but it's so deep. It's something which you can never finish in the world to come, even when faith becomes sight, when we get there. But we'll be living in a faith dimension. The prophet says the millennium will be a faith civilization. This science civilization, this perversion will be done away with. Where everything has to be empirically proved. You know, if it doesn't fit the model, then it can't be true. And then God sends his servants down. And they come and they turn the laws upside down. Yeah? And someone who's dead, yeah, they can't come back to life according to science. The life's gone out of the body, and then you find people come and reaching into that dimension of faith, they bring something in a reality and speak, and life comes back in the body. It's not possible, but all things are possible to those who exercise this sense that links them to the dimension where all things are possible. But we just need to exercise, we just need to feed. We just need to keep ourselves that link, that channel between ourselves and that dimension. We need to keep that clear. Amen. And we need to keep feeding that. Amen. And then we'll start to look at what that faith did in Abel. Mm-hmm. And what that faith did in Enoch. How he was translated. Yeah? And then you start to see what that faith did in Abraham and in Rahab. And all of those types in the Bible. And the Bible says, by it, the elders obtained a good report. That's how you get a good report from the Lord. It's good to do all these outer things, friends. We have to do them. You can't say you're a believer if you're a woman and you cut your hair. You're not a believer. You can't say you're a believer, a woman, you wear men's clothing. You don't believe. Those are the attributes of unbelief. That's sin. Sin is unbelief, and now you've got the attributes of sin. But We can do all of those things and still not obtain a good report. Because the only way you obtain a good report is by faith. It's by faith you obtain a good report. So that's got to be the focus. You've got to focus and let the change come from the inside working out. Then it's acceptable to God. Let's not persuade and force people to do things from the outside when they don't yet have that something on the inside. It's a big mistake that we make when we do that. Now we're finished with this thought. Think of the 10 spies. Faith does two things. Faith gives a good report of God. Faith always brings back a good report of the promised land. Faith will always give you a good report of the promised land, the land of promise. It'll always come and tell you good things. It'll always come and tell you the land is good. Look at these grapes. Yeah? Taste of the first fruits. Then the second thing is, once faith gives a good report of the land, be careful. Be careful. If you receive the good report, if you allow that to persuade you, you now obtain a good report, the Bible says. God now looks down and he's pleased. Because by this, the elders obtained a good report, by faith. By believing on the promises. When God spoke to them, they were persuaded of the promises, they said. The Bible says. So you allow it. There's got to be an act of will. Faith will never work outside of your will. God will come and reveal his will to you and say, I'm the Lord that healeth you. I can deliver you from this situation. But you have to decide to accept that. It has to go through the spiritual womb first. Then go through the avenue of free will, the prophet says, to drop from the mind down into the heart. Then it's yours. But you have to open the door. So you have to be persuaded. Here's Mary standing in the presence of the angel who's bringing in a good report. But she has to be persuaded. And she has to yield and submit herself. Her reasoning, her understanding, what her five senses are saying to her, she has to surrender those things and say, be done to me according to your word. And then she obtains a good report. And she brings forth the promise. Yet Zechariah, he didn't want to be persuaded of the promise. The promise came to him, but he had too many objections, too much intellect, too much reasoning coming in the way. He should have been quiet. He should have stood longer in the presence of the angel, like the prophet did in the cave. When he said, how can this be? Then the angel said, this is, I'll give you two signs. But I don't have education. No, don't worry. As Moses was sent with two signs, you'll be sent with two signs. They won't believe me. I'll go with you. Or if you go with me, I'll go. He allowed the angel to persuade him. He didn't allow unbelief to keep the door closed. He asked the questions and he allowed the answer. And then he submitted himself. He yielded himself to that which was coming from that faith dimension. And then it entered into him. And then he brought what was in the faith dimension. He brought it into a manifestation in his own life. And that's the way that is every time. And that's the greatest battle ever fought. Amen. That you've got to be persuaded of the promise. You've got to make sure that you don't make shipwreck of your faith. Or your faith is not overthrown in the journey. That you don't short circuit the process, but keep feeding your faith. Keep looking to him that is invisible. Like Moses did. I'll just read one thing, which I wrote down here. Because what is the object of our faith? No, in this world, we have objects of our faith. The government, we put our faith in them. Your boss, the company, you put your faith in them. Yeah. Your husband, no? He's going to go and work and get enough money so you can put food on the table. To children, they put their faith in their parents. No, mommy and daddy will give me the things that I need. You know, those are fine, but that's this dimension that we're living in. Your faith has to be in an object. Otherwise, it's not faith. Faith has to be based on an object. You put your faith on something. Now, you want to make sure that you put your faith on something that's solid. And dependable and never changes. Because every man will change, but God never changes. You can put your faith in me, expecting me to help you with finance at the end of the month. And maybe I'm not going to have enough. And then I can't help you. But friend, you can never put your faith in him. And he doesn't have sufficient resources to help you. He never does. People fail, but God never fails. Every one of these other things that you put our faith in, it can fail. But when you have a link to that faith dimension and you put down your stake and say, I'm putting my faith in anchoring it in a solid rock. It's immovable. It's never going to fail. Circumstances can change. But God never changes. He never changes. He's never had a new thought about anything. And he never will have a new thought about anything. So we just need to be persuaded. We just need to set our affections to look upon him that is invisible. We need to look to the unseen. Friend, that's the reality. That's how Paul says, all these other things are temporary. They'll be done away with. But that unseen is eternal. It'll never fail. You can take all your money, put your faith in bank of whatever that there was a few years back, put all your savings, then the bank goes bust. But my friend, when you're storing up treasures in heaven, it's a bank that never goes bust. There's an eternal weight of glory. There's an eternal reward waiting for you in the heavens. So it just depends on which kingdom our souls are seeking their comfort and their solace and their hope in. Let's seek for a deeper faith, friends. Let's seek for perfect faith. Let's seek to say, Lord, this year I want to move beyond. I thank you for the things I've seen. I thank you for the things I've experienced. But I know there's more. I know there's a perfect faith. I know there's a perfect substance faith. I'll finish with that quote when the prophet speaks about what is this perfect faith. He says, that perfect faith. He says, at first the disciples didn't have it. They were walking with Christ, but afterwards Christ was in them. That brought them perfect faith. He says, they had power, because they were given power by Jesus, but not the faith to use the power. He says, now there's the Branham Tabernacle. There's the church, the bride today. The Holy Spirit is here with the power, but you haven't got that faith to move it. See what I mean? It takes faith to move it. Ah, friends, we have the power. The prophet says, if there's even just a shadow of God in you, God doesn't have big parts and small parts. God doesn't have strong parts and weak parts. So if there's just a shadow of God in you, he says there's enough power in God in you to create a new world. He says, but it's governed by a law. And that's a law of faith. And sometimes we stop there and say, but I don't understand. But what does the law say? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now God has a law of where you can get the faith now to put things in action. So you're moving from just a faith that you're believing in salvation, you're believing in the grace of God, believing that he does these things, and it moves into the realm where faith now starts to declare itself. Amen. So that the Holy Ghost now by faith moves on you, beyond, moves to Sister Viva and raises her up, moves to Brother Scott and sorts out his car. That's what you want, saints, and I'm sure you do. Right at the beginning of that message, he says that. He's explaining why he preaches this message. And he says, faith is the substance and so forth. And he says, what we're wanting to see is apostolic times among us. He says, real faith. We want to see that. He says, you know, we've seen a measure. He says, but isn't that what you want, is to see apostolic times once again? You know, to see that faith that really declares itself. I'm sure that's your desire. So let's come to pray. Whatever your request is, let's draw nigh to him. Let's say, Lord, persuade me of the promise. Convince me of the promise. Let it become something that moves from hope to an assurance, to a substance. Something that I can stand upon and say, I know. No matter what the circumstances are. And that's going to navigate through the most treacherous of seas. It's going to come safely into the harbor of rest. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of prayer. Does anybody else have any prayer requests? Sister Viva, Brother Scott, let's pray for Brother Nat's wife with a chest infection. Let's really come before the Lord about that. Anybody else? Brother George? Brother Vladimir, yep. He's very sick. Let's pray for Brother Vladimir Ryabov in Donetsk. He's very sick. Let's raise him up before the Lord. Let's pray for the youth meetings next weekend. Let's pray the Lord will really help us. And whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart. Maybe, Brother George, you can lead us in one chorus there, bro. Let's come to prayer. Let's sing that faith in the Father, faith in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Demons will tremble, sinners awake. Faith in Jehovah makes everything shake.
Minister grace for the Lord and pray. And if you're one of these circumstances and these situations, Lord, for the Lord, just move on behalf of your sons and move on behalf of your daughters. Move for the Lord and ask and pray. Speak unto these young people. Help them, Lord. Lead them and guide them. Father, Lord, is my petition, Lord. As I do wait upon thee as I come, Father, Lord, at this time to bring it before thee, Lord. Bless us as we go from this place upon this day. Watch us, Father, Lord, as we look into thee and bring ourselves before thee, Lord, and ask for your grace and mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let's sing something, Brother Joel.
In prisoner's chains,
Anchored in the solid rock. When the prophet saw that ship in the harbor and it was being beaten by the storm and the waves were going over it and the ship was going under, and he says, but why is it not sinking? He says, no, it's got an anchor. It's not the ship doing the holding, it's the anchor doing the holding. There's something coming from a faith dimension that anchors you. That when you think you can't make it anymore, something is ministered from a faith dimension down a channel of faith inside of your soul, and it changes your situation. There's an anchor that holds, though the ship is battered. Our friends, let's sing that song. The anchor holds.
I have journeyed.
touch your people, Lord. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray your kingdom shine upon this earth.
Mercies to everybody until we meet by the grace of God on Sunday. Amen. God bless you. Amen. If you want to come and close for us in a word of prayer. Amen. God bless.
Let us pray. Heavenly Lord Father, we thank you, Lord Father, once again, Lord. Lord, that
Hallelujah.
Lord, you've gathered here once again, Lord Father. Lord Father, to bless your name, Lord Father. We didn't come here in vain, Lord. But Lord Father, to lift up you, Lord Father. To come upon us, Lord Father. Oh, Lord Father, we do know, Lord Father, that Lord. Oh, Lord, you gave us the strong, Lord Father, the strong
Hallelujah.
Thing that we use, Lord Father, to destroy everything which is faith, Lord. Oh, Lord Father, I declare every sickness, Lord Father. Oh, into your hand, Lord Father. You deal with each and everything, Lord Father, that hinder your people, Lord. Oh, Lord Father, there's nothing else, Lord Father, that we desire this evening, Lord. But Lord Father, just asking you to come upon us, Lord. Oh Lord Father, touch each and every soul, Lord Father. Oh Lord Father, you fellowship among us, Lord Father. Lord Father, that Lord, as we depart this place, Lord Father, we shouldn't depart the same way we came, Lord Father. We want, Lord Father, that Lord, as we go into our houses, Lord Father, all the way, Lord Father, Amen. We should bless your name, Lord Father. Oh Lord Father, we want to sing your glory, Lord. Oh Lord Father, come upon into our souls. You fellowship with us, Lord Father. Oh Lord, we do know, Lord, that there is so many people who are sick tonight, Lord Father. Those people that, Lord Father, they're not feeling well tonight, Lord Father. I command, Lord Father, that Lord, oh, that word, Lord Father, that you gave us, Lord, if it's a strong word, Lord Father, that we use, Lord, that it's faith, Lord Father. Oh, Lord Father, you touch every brother and sister who's not feeling well tonight, Lord Father. Oh, Lord Father, you heal them, Lord. Oh, Lord Father, even those that they didn't even make it tonight, Lord Father, I commit them into your hands, Lord Father, that whatever we do here, Lord Father, oh, shall be done wherever they are, Lord Father. Oh, this word that, Lord Father, our pastor has spoken to us, Lord Father, let it be fruitful in our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord Father, let's use it, Lord Father. Oh, Lord, when we go out there, Lord Father, we want, Lord Father, oh, to show that light, Lord Father, that you've lit in us, Lord. Oh, Lord Father, burn us, Lord Father. Give us, Lord Father, the fire, Lord Father. That, Lord, when we speak to others, Lord Father, when we testify, Lord Father, the things that you've done for us, Lord Father. Oh, we want to make somebody, Lord Father, who don't even believe, Lord Father, to come upon you, Lord Father, and ask himself, Lord Father, who he is, Lord. Oh, we bless you. We give you glory tonight, Lord Father. Oh, Lord, I commit our deacons, Lord, into your hands, Lord Father. You touch each and every one of him, Lord Father. Our song leaders, Lord Father. Everyone, Lord Father. Father, brothers and sisters, all the families, Lord Father, you be with them, Lord Father, wherever they are, even those, Lord Father, that they're not here, Lord Father, I commit them into your hands. Oh, Lord, we bless you, Lord Father, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, Lord Father, give us traveling mercies as we march once again towards our homes, Lord Father, you be with us, Lord. Oh, Lord Father, we do know, Lord Father, that, Lord, the blood that you shed on the cross, Lord, they're all over us, Lord Father, even, Lord Father, to protect us, Lord Father, away from accidents, Lord Father, away from any other, Lord Father, things that the devil, Lord Father, is trying to come and destroy your people. We bless you, we glorify you, Lord Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, saints. Let's dismiss with one for Georgia.
Turns into
Because something keeps holding me. Hallelujah.
Something keeps holding me.
Jesus is a